preach for us tonight. I asked him this afternoon after church. I called him and I said, I apologize for not asking earlier, but I didn't know it. So it's if the Lord tells me, I'll tell people. But if he don't, then I guess he knows you didn't need long, brother. Come ahead and preach to us. God knows what he's doing, whether he gives us an hour notice or 5 minutes, whatever. He's in control. Isn't it good he's in control and not me, or not you, not anybody else? Let's worship the Lord together.
This isn't normal of me. I don't normally do this, but there is a presence. You understand? There is a presence. And I don't want to let somebody miss out on an opportunity. If someone has something to say, some testimony, something that God's put on your heart, the Lord told me that now's the time for you to say it.
I got a phone call today after praying at the altar this morning that my nephew got saved. I've been praying for him for so long. So I just want to give God all the praise for that. But now I know no matter what happens in this world, no matter what troubles he's gone through, and he's gone through so much in his 13 years of life, that I'm going to see him on the other side. And I just thank God for that. God still answers prayer.
First off, I want to thank God for saving my soul. And before Randy sang that song, "One Scarred Hand," God told me to come say this. I didn't do it. In 1993, before I had an eye injury, about 2 weeks before I injured my eye, I was sitting on the bed tying my shoes getting ready to go to church. And that song was on the radio, "One Scarred Hand." And God broke me down. I cried. I don't know why. At that time, I didn't know what it's for. But 2 weeks later, I had an eye injury and had to go to the hospital. I threw a stick through my eye. It totally drained my eye down. I ended up with a cornea transplant. But during that time, when I went to the hospital, I laid on that gurney as they rolled me back to the room. And all I could hear was that one scarred hand. And there's a verse in there that says, "And when I cannot see, I must believe." And that's what I did. The doctor told my wife that my eye would be gone. They'd be able to fix it back, but he was pretty sure I'd never be able to see out of it again. But like I've told you before, through the surgeries and a cornea transplant, a lens implant, I had my eye checked Friday. I've got 20/35 in my right eye, the one I hurt. So to God be the glory.
Anyone else? If you would, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 3. Aren't you glad for services like this? I mean, whew. Leonardo da Vinci, he was commissioned by one of the dukes of that era to paint a picture of the Last Supper. You may know it. It's a pretty common painting. It's a very well-known painting. And when he was finished with the painting, he asked his friend to look at it and tell him what he thought about it. And the friend, when he looked at the painting, the first thing that caught his eye was the cup. And he said, "That cup is beautiful. It's magnificent. That's the most beautiful cup that I've ever seen. You've done such a great job on this picture, but that cup." The same moment, Leonardo da Vinci took a brush and brushed over that cup, changed the picture, the focus on that cup. He said that nothing, not one thing should take the focus off of Jesus. Aren't you glad for services like this? Not just because it feels good, but because the focus is on Jesus. Let's pray before we read. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for your presence here tonight. I want to thank you, Lord, for who you are and for how you've come and just, you've settled into our midst. And Lord, I just pray, Father, over your word, dear Lord, that the reading of it, just the mere reading of it would save souls, Lord, that it would heal lives. It would make things the way that you want it to be. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would help me, Father, to preach it in power. And I pray, Father, for the ears of the people, dear Lord, that they wouldn't hear the words that I say, but Lord, they'd hear the precepts that you've preached unto me. And Lord, how I'm thankful for them. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for your presence and for your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 14 in chapter number 3. Verse number 14, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Let me say that again. Be filled with all the fullness of God. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." The first thing that I want to point out to you folks and to open this up here is to show you that this is a prayer. It's pretty obvious from the first verse. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he stops talking about the mysteries of godliness, the mysteries of grace, the mysteries that he was trying to share with them. And he wanted them to experience those mysteries. He wanted them to have those gifts. And he said in verse number 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he was praying specifically for the Ephesians. But if you look at the very end of the prayer, he's not just praying for the Ephesians, but he prays for all the church throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. So he's not just preaching to the Ephesians. He's preaching to us tonight. I mean, he's not praying for the Ephesians, but he's praying for us tonight. Not just to experience these, but to have the fullness of God. If you want a title for this message, if you need a title, it's "Be filled with the fullness of God." That's my prayer tonight. That's Paul's prayer from this passage. That's ultimately God's prayer for every one of us, is for us to be filled with his fullness. If you look in verse number 16, it shows you exactly what he wants us to be filled with. First of all, I see verse number 16 shows us that he wants us to be filled with his Spirit and with the strength of his Spirit. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I thought about that for just a second. I thought about what all the Spirit does. I thought about the first part of it is that it frees you from sin. Now, I know what you're thinking here. I know the blood frees from sin. But who spoke to you before you even received the blood? And who speaks to you every time that you are about to sin? Who's the one that speaks to you and says, "Hey, don't do that"? That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. It frees us from sin. It fills us within. I think about Peter at the day of Pentecost, and when they were all in that upper room, and when the Spirit of God came in like a rushing mighty wind. And it gave them the ability to speak every language that was in Jerusalem at that time. And it also gave them Peter the boldness to preach just after they had fear enough to hide in an upper room. He preached in power, so much so that 3,000 souls got saved. You see, it fills us within. The Holy Spirit will fill us. Not only that, but it makes us one. If you go on just a little bit farther and you think about Peter and how the apostles were in place on that day of Pentecost and even the days after. In Acts chapter number 2, bear with me here, I'm going to turn and try to read this to you because I don't want to mess it up. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 46, it says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." You see, I know that the blood has made us one, but the glue that keeps us stuck together is that Holy Spirit. The Spirit that speaketh to us, that shows us the things that we need, that gives us the same heart and mind, even though that every one of you, and even myself, think different thoughts. We have different ways. We have different mannerisms and ways that we act. But the one thing that holds us together is the Spirit of God. It makes us one, and it gets His job done. You can look all through the Bible. The things that I thought about was over in Moses' time, when the tabernacle, God wanted a tabernacle, a place for the children of Israel to come and meet with His Spirit, to come and meet with that Shekinah glory, that cloud that settled in there with them. You see, in Exodus chapter number 31, verse number 3, it says, when they were deciding who was going to be the one that created those, or that crafted some of those things, in verse number 31, verse number 2, it says, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur in the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in the manner of workmanship." You see, He sends specific people to do specific jobs with His Holy Spirit. If you go on to verse chapter number 35, verse number 31, it says, "See, God hath sent Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, to fulfill the job that God called him to do." You see, He calls us not just to come and sit on a pew, but He calls us to do some jobs in His church to make this church what He wants it to be. He'll get His job done. I think also about rebuilding that temple that we heard about this morning, or we may not have heard about it this morning. I've heard so many preaching this week. I can't even think straight. But when you think about Ezra, and you think about those times that the temple was torn down and God wanted His temple rebuilt. Zechariah tells us about that time. And this is after Ezra. This is not during Ezra. But after Ezra and Zechariah, chapter number 4, verse number 6, it says, "And this is the word unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." You see, if a job's going to get done, it's not going to get done by the works of our hands. It's not going to get done by the thoughts of our own thoughts. It's going to get done by the Spirit of God. Because His Spirit is might, His Spirit is power, and His Spirit is all we need. I think about all the other things that the Spirit does. It seals, it teaches, it comforts us, it makes intercession for us. It brings the rain to us. The last time that you've experienced revival, you know, you were dried out. You were dusty. You felt like you didn't have a piece of God in you. Oh, but there was a man who went to pray because God told him to. And because of that man praying, he could get up and he could say, "I hear the sound of much rain." He brings revival. He wants you to be filled with His Spirit. But not only does He want you to be filled with His Spirit, but in verse number 17, He tells us that He wants you to be filled with His Son. In verse number 17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. He wants Christ to dwell in your hearts by faith. I'm so thankful for that preaching that we heard this morning about faith. I'm so thankful for those verses that God has put on my heart, talking about how the just, well, talking about By grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But he wants not only to just give you Christ. He's already given him his whole self. You see, Christ is good not just because he is Christ, but he's good. His name is good. Have you thought about the songs that we've heard today? About his name? About his name? Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Have you thought about other songs? Name some songs. Tell me a song that talks about his name. Anybody, name a song that talks about his name. Oh, how I love Jesus. What's another song? Jesus loves me. What's another song about his name? His name is wonderful. What's over here? What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Woo! His name is good. There's not only just songs that we sing about his name, but there are verses about his name. In John chapter 20, verse 30, it says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." His name is good. You know, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Did you know that tonight? Did you know that at the name of Jesus, that every knee shall bow on things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that he is Jesus Christ, the Lord, to the glory of God the Father? Did you know that through his name? His name is good. You know, I've been thinking of some other verses that I've been trying to memorize. It's John chapter 14, or John chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth on him not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." You see, his name is good. His name saves. His name is holy. His blood is wonderful. I thought just a few things about his blood. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins." Aren't you thankful for the blood? I don't think that we're thankful enough for the blood. We do get excited about those things that heaven is an exciting thing. And I get excited over heaven. His name's exciting too. But we don't get excited enough over the blood, the very thing that was spilled just to cleanse us from sin. When we sing songs about the blood, oh my goodness, our hearts should be stirring for God to just come in and say, and we just should say, "Thank you, Lord, for the blood." For you who are afar off, you're made nigh by what? By the blood of Christ. If the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, to purify your conscience of dead works and serve the living God? Hey, it's about his blood, folks. It's all about him. Now, I could sit here and I could tell you about thing after thing. His word is good. His ways are good. You know, everything about him is good. He wants to fill you with his Son tonight. He's already filled you with his Son if you're saved by his grace. But he wants to not just fill you. I'm talking fill you. He wants to fill you tonight. Verse 18 and 19, it says, it shows us that he wants to fill you with the sacred and the supernatural. verse number 18, it says, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge. You see, God wants to fill you with some things that we don't even understand. You've heard the verse that says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man all that the Lord hath made for us. Or that's probably misquoting. But that's not even, they don't even go, people use that in reference to heaven. But if you go one verse farther, it says, but you have been shown because you were saved by the Holy Ghost. There's some things in this Bible that I don't understand. There's some things in this Bible that I will never understand until I get to where I'm sitting with Him. But there are some things that when we're filled with His Spirit, when we're filled with His Son, that He will fill us with knowledge and discernment. Who can tell me Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1? Who can tell me what that says? It says, judge not that you be not judged. How many times do we take that out of context and say that we cannot judge in a rightful manner the things that are going on in this world that are wrong? How many times do people tell you that you cannot say that homosexuality is wrong because the Bible says so? Because you're not supposed to judge. There's so many people that takes that verse out of context. It baffles me. Because where it does say that you should not have condemnation for those people, you should not condemn them to hell, you do have the ability to say, that's wrong. Those things are wrong, not because I said so, but because He said so. If I was doing something wrong, I would want you to come to me in love and say, Jason, what are you doing? You're doing something wrong. We mistake judgment for discernment anymore. And anymore when we think about saying something's wrong, we act like it's a condemnation. It doesn't make any sense because that's not what the Word of God shows. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 14, it shows us, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see, He's going to impute into you with that fullness that you're looking for, if you seek after the fullness that He wants to fill you with, He will give you the mind of Christ. I know that we should not condemn those who sin. Because if you look at me and I'm trying to tell somebody else that they're full of sin, then that's just the pot calling the kettle black. I know that I probably ought to be looking at myself way before than I ought to be looking at somebody else. But I do know that when I do something wrong or when somebody else does something wrong, that it's wrong because the Word of God says so. And because I have the mind of Christ to say, hey, look, this is exactly where it says that the Word of God says so. He wants to fill you with something supernatural, something huge. It's saying that let's go back to the verses. I've lost my place. Go eat popcorn. It says, and that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Think about those words for just a second. The breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Of what? I don't know, but he's going to show me. If I seek after the fullness that he wants me to have, he's going to show me the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. You think about this for just a second. Do you think that they fully knew what that God was going to place inside the Ark of the Covenant when they were making it? Not only did he tell them the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, but he told them what was going to be in that too. He told them all the fullness, all the mystery of it all. He's going to show us the depth and the length and the breadth of the, and the height. And he's going to show us the love of God that passeth knowledge. He's going to show you something that is beyond knowledge in the first place. You can't have enough knowledge to know the love of God. You can't. God is love. John tells us that God is love. How can you know the love of God and the vastness of it? He's going to show you. Not only do I see those three things, but the most important part of it all is that he wants us to be empty in order to where we can be filled. You think about these verses here for just a second. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. How are you going to receive riches if you're already full of this world's riches? To be strengthened with the might of his spirit in the inner man. How are you going to receive his spirit and be full of his spirit if you're full of this world's goods? That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. You know, for him to dwell within you, all you've got to be is empty. You see, God wants us to be empty. When you talk about any story from the Bible where he has a man create something, it's always empty and he fills it. You look at Noah. Noah didn't have a full ark. He just had a bare ark. And God filled it. You look at any pot that's mentioned, any vessel that's mentioned in the Bible. Not one man filled it. He wanted an empty, usable vessel. And he wanted God. God wanted to be the one that filled it. He wants us to be empty, folks. It says in these last two verses, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory. If everyone would stand. I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know the things that God has, the situations that God has placed you in. I don't even know your mind tonight. But I do know this. That if you're willing to be empty, God will fill you. If God has been emptying you, God will fill you. You may be going through some situations that have been so hard to deal with and so unbearable that you've been crying every night, that you have no peace within you. But let me just give you one positive thought. He can still fill you. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or even think. Pastor, come on.
Thank you, Brother Jason, for a wonderful message. Your heads are bowed. If you'll come piano organ. Message like that, what an invitation that Brother Jason already gave us. If you are willing to be empty, he will fill you. And that's the only way. Empty ourselves of ourselves. Did not Jesus say on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit? Our spirit, our way, poor, empty. Then all these other things were added, not before. We have to have an empty end. God doesn't fill dirty vessels. And sometimes we can't empty ourselves. But if we're willing to be emptied, He will empty us, and that's forgiveness. Clean slate, opportunities, altars open. Surely everyone of us would want to be filled with Him. But the question remains, are we willing to let Him empty us of our ways, our desires? So my desires are good, not compared to His. Oh, thank God for the message, my brother. Right on time. And you're still coming as we pray. Precious Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for the Word of God that gives us direction. As Brother Jason preached, the Spirit of God and the blood of Christ can do anything and everything for us if we're willing. If we're willing to trust You and to be led of the Spirit of God, it remains to be seen, Father, how You could use us if we're just willing to be used. And thank You, Father, for the precious Word, for the preaching of the Word, for the anointing of Brother Jason and I, anointed with wonderful songs of Zion, for the Spirit that's moved among our midst tonight and still moving. Thank You for meeting with us. Thank You, Father, for giving us opportunities. Opportunities to learn and understand and spend and be spent for Your cause, for Your glory. That no flesh should glory in Your presence. That You will have the preeminence. And make us, Father, to stand. And having done all to stand, be steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And You did promise that our labor would not be in vain. Thank You, Father. Thank You for those that came, for those even in their pews that haven't come, but they can still pray and seek Your face. We thank You for our nation, Father, for the opportunities You've given us, for the freedom of religion we have today that we can proclaim and preach the gospel. Not only to our ears here, but across the land, You've given us technology. Help us use it wisely for Your glory. Open up doors. Open up windows of opportunity. And bid us go in. Because we know You'll go in with us. You'll lead the way. You'll go with us. You'll be everything to us. We bless and praise the name of Jesus. We sang about it. We read about it, and we're so thankful we can pray to You through the blessed Holy Spirit. And You're interceding in the throne room right now on our behalf, taking our prayers and desires to the Father. And You promise to give us the desires of our heart. Let our hearts be as one. Let us be faithful and which You call us. And do forgive us our sins, Father. And help us to be more like You. We read and heard tonight the mind of Christ. Fill us with Yourself. And we love You. We bless You and praise You. In the lovely, wonderful name of Jesus, our Redeemer and our Lord and our Savior, our soon coming King. Amen.